And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling us at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So may God bless the reading of his word, and we invite Chaplain Don to provide the message.
Good morning. It's great to be back in America after a long vacation with my wife, Jo, visiting a family in Hong Kong. And we went to Singapore, we went to Malaysia, we went to Thailand. It was a wonderful trip. This morning, we're going to be looking at a text from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. My message will look primarily at the text, but the Bible is full of examples of people hearing from God, trying to hear from God. And so like the song that we sang this morning, "I want to know you, Lord, I want to know your voice," let us enter into this message praying and hoping that God will open our eyes and our hearts to his message and his guidance for us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it challenges us because it is so real. It is so fascinating how it connects to us about the life that we live. And I think of this young boy, Samuel, and his encounter with this elderly priest, professional minister, and how God worked in his life. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when we're at a crossroad in life, trying to discern which way to go, I think a story like this has a lot to tell us. It's an account of how God spoke to a young boy named Samuel. On a side note, I just want to mention that we're talking about children. In Scripture, there are many occasions where children play a role. Jesus himself said, "Forbid not the little children to come to him." Jesus cared for young children, but often churches prioritize children at the lowest level around the world. They're more willing to pay for recarpeting sanctuaries than fixing the rooms where children learn God's word. People want pastors for visitation of the elderly and counseling adults, but neglect the pastoring of our children, especially when it comes to special education and special needs children. Let us prayerfully listen to God's voice over the next few weeks to determine how he wants us to participate in the development of excellent ministry and care for our children. Hearing the voice of God, what exactly does he want us to do? Similar words in our language, calling and vocation. How does God speak to us? These are important things. How does God speak to us personally? In terms of marriage, does God help us to determine the person that we would marry? I would think so. Job, vocation. Does God help us? He should help us to determine what direction we go in life. Even religiously, our service in the church. Sometimes I wonder if God has closed his mouth, because often people don't know what God wants them to do. Does he speak to our hearts? Or is the dream that you have only a dream because you ate pizza at night and you woke up with a vision of something because of the food? The Bible writes so much about knowing and determining the will of God, hearing from God. In fact, when you look at the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, they heard God in the garden. God spoke to them. God spoke to Cain. God said, "What have you done?" after his brother was killed. God called Moses from the burning bush with words. Isaiah encountered God. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord," he said. "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Even in the New Testament, people heard from God. Paul was knocked from his horse in a dramatic encounter with the Lord, and he heard from God in that experience. John, who wrote the Revelation, the Apocalypse, heard from God on the Isle of Patmos. The Spirit spoke to him. Many people also in the Bible heard from God without much fanfare, a quiet, still voice. Some people today hear from God and they say they hear audibly. Now, I don't think most of us have heard God that way, but I don't put it out of the realm of possibility. In the history of Christianity, saints, martyrs, widows, servants, and pioneers of God have striven to listen to the voice of God. What is your will for me? I graduated from college, high school. Which way do you want me to go? I have a new career decision. I'm homeless. What should I do? Even in the secular world, even in the world that is not Christian, this idea of hearing a call is an important concept. The Call of the Wild by Jack London. The Call of Nature, you've heard that one. The Call of Duty. Do you know the Call of Duty? How many copies of that? The game, the war game. 250 million have sold. $15 billion. I think in 1914, $50 billion were given to churches. One video game, $15 billion. At least that's the statistic that I read on the internet. Now, the internet is not always accurate. Hearing from God is not an extremist concept. Even outside of the world, people are thinking about this concept. Is God calling us? God calling us to intimacy with Him? Do we need to know why we are here on earth, what our purpose is in this church, at your job? How can you contribute to the work of God? If we listen to the Lord, we may discover this. You may be an older member of the church. There's a concept in the military, in the army at least, firing your round downrange, which means like you shoot your gun and it goes downrange. And some of us who are elderly have completed the mission for life and we're retired. And what is there to do for us? Are we going to spend the rest of our life on cruises and eventually wind up with a tube attached to our nose as we slowly die? Do we have a purpose as older people once we retire? Konrad Adenauer, the Chancellor of Germany, was 88 years old when he assumed his role. Pablo Picasso was producing drawings and engravings at 90 years old. Arthur Rubinstein, at 89, gave one of the greatest recitals in New York Carnegie Hall. And someone asked him, "How can you be so good at that age?" And you know what he said? "Practice, practice, practice." Even at old age, he practiced at something that he was called to do. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe wrote Faust at 81. As an elderly person, there are opportunities for you to serve in life. In church, take time. When you come to church, there are young people here. Have you ever connected to them? Have you ever asked a young person out to eat as an elderly person, to mentor them, to challenge them, to share something of your life, or even sit down next to them as we eat downstairs in a few minutes? So many opportunities. Don't despise your old age and think that it's the end of your responsibility. Younger people, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, we have a few 20-year-olds here. Albert Einstein in 1905, in his mid-20s, published 4 works. One on Brownian motion, one on photoelectronic effect, and 2 others on relativity in his 20s. Bach in his 20s wrote Toccata and Fuga in D minor. John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards, Christians from different perspectives of the theological spectrum, when they were in their early 30s, were preaching significantly. And now we see here this little story about a man or a boy named Samuel. It's not out of the realm of possibility that God speaks to a child. Here he did. So today I want to share a few ideas about God speaking to Samuel. The first one is this: God's word may be rare at times. Verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I want to give you a little background. This was a time of transition in Israel. The time of the judges was ending and the beginning of the Israelite monarchy was taking place. And there's 2 characters in this text, Eli and Samuel. Samuel served before the Lord under Eli, and his task was he was a custodian, cleaning as a young boy, polishing, working, almost like an intern. I don't know if we have any interns here on Capitol Hill, but almost like an intern, just serving, doing the little things. Chapter 1, the Bible tells us that his mom, Hannah, dedicated Samuel. It's a beautiful story. But the religious environment was not very good because religion at the time was on the downside turn. Religion was corrupted. There was apostasy. And little Samuel was working among all of these priests, and many of the priests were corrupted. Eli, the head priest, his story is important for understanding Samuel. He was a priest in charge of worship and sacrifice in the temple at Shiloh, or the tabernacle, not the temple. Israelites looked to him for guidance in religion and in civic and social realities. But with his leadership, there was a disintegration of the authority, the integrity, and the purity of religion. He failed to teach his own sons to respect God. In chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible tells us that they knew not God. The sons did not know God. And under him, they assumed priestly duty. So even though he was a priest and his sons did not know God, he let them become priests. And there's an account in chapter 2 of the sons who would take a 3-pronged fork, and as the food came for offering, would take a fork and stick it in and take some of the meat out for themselves. So corrupt. Anybody here deal with offerings? That's why offering controls are important. Because actually in Christianity and churches are accountable for the income coming in. And they always need to have proper offering controls. The Bible tells us in chapter 2:12, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord, and yet they were priests. Perhaps this is why the word of the Lord was rare. Because of the sin of Eli's children, there was great corruption and arrogance of religious leaders. It's not a new thing in the Bible. I recently reviewed a book for a journal, and it dealt with a corrupt religious leader. It's not uncommon today. It's not new in the Bible, not new in our experience. where religious leaders fleece the flock and are often unaccountable. When spiritual leaders don't lead a life of the Spirit, the life of God and the community is impacted. We live in a world where communities of faith struggle with faithless leaders, faithless to the Bible, faithless to Christian truth. Much like Eli's sons, the result is often the slow death of denominations, of communities of faith. Corrupt leaders who have retired consume the resources of little old ladies and men who've donated their whole career in many denominations where pension systems eat up everything that exists in the denomination. Moral compromise makes immoral become kosher. It's a recipe for judgment and disaster for nations. And it's a death sentence for communities to God. Perhaps this is what was happening in Israel at the time. The corruption of Eli and his sons. And yet, little Samuel was there. Little Samuel was there serving. And God called him to be there. I think that many people of God would have left. And perhaps this is another reason why the word of God was rare. It's because people of God had left, had departed. There was a spiritual starvation. The word of God was not proclaimed or lived. Friend, the word of the Lord is rare when people are not calling on him. Samuel called, and when sin runs rampant in the house of the Lord, the word of God is rare. Secondly, if people listen, they can hear. So little Samuel was there one night. Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Wouldn't it be great if God spoke to us in a megaphone? And each time we knew that it was him talking. But here this little boy heard God, but he didn't recognize it as the voice of God. How many of us have kind of heard God speak to us again and again? And, you know, God is very gracious to us. He allows us time to miss his message. So God called three times. Because God cared for him. I know some people who are impatient people, and one time they cut you off forever. One offense and it's done. But here we have an example of God who's very gracious and who gives time and opportunity for Samuel. Samuel, Samuel, three times. And finally, Samuel hears God. If you listen, you will hear the Lord. But sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we need to be quiet and say, "Lord, speak to us. Speak to me." Thirdly, hearing God may involve some effort. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. It was probably at night. Probably late at night because the candles had burnt out. And he hears the voice. And he responds. How many of us late at night, if someone tells us to wake up, we will wake up? Not many of us. So when you hear God at an uncomfortable time, you need to be deliberate and wake up and respond. Some of us at night, God may even wake us up. There's been times in my life where I've woken up and somebody's been on my mind and I prayed. I did that recently, actually. I think that we should wake up and God calls us. Verse 10 tells us, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And now Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord was talking to Samuel. And the Lord didn't tell him much about the future. Samuel's future is dynamic. A lot of things he was called to do. But God didn't tell him everything in the beginning. God gave him time to digest the message. And he does the same thing to us when he calls us to leadership, when he calls us to serve. We may not have all the answers, but if we respond to God step by step, he will walk with us to achieve the obligation and the responsibilities. Fourthly, hearing God will change your life. The last verses describe how Samuel is called and engaged in many activities. I'm going to read this last verse, starting with verse 11, this last text. And the Lord said to Samuel, after he answered, so I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. God was set to cause renewal, revival of the land. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end, because God had judged Eli. And Samuel knew this, yet served under him. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What would you tell Eli if you were Samuel? What would you say to Eli? Would you tell him the truth, what God told you? You're a little child. Samuel's this great priest who has all this power and authority. What would you say? Would you say, Eli, everything's good? What was it he said to you? Eli said, do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Friends, be faithful to God. Do what God has called you to do, if you've heard from him. Do what he's called you to do, no matter what the circumstances around you. Because he has a plan and a purpose, and he will protect that plan and purpose, even if there's corruption around. Be a person of faith, a person of God. Boldly, be a Samuel. I think if you're an older man and you hear about Samuel, who was faithful in a very corrupt religious system, you would be encouraged. All of us live in a society, in a world where there's corruption. I hear politicians talking with words that are unseemly. And I know Christians who are cherishing secret sin. All of these are called to hear from God and to turn to Him and to repent. But those of you especially who are like little Samuel working in places where there is darkness, live the light. Let the light shine where you're at. Be people of integrity and honor. So this morning, looking at this text, we've seen that people can hear God. We've seen that hearing God may involve a little effort on our part. And we've seen that hearing God will change our life, our trajectory. Little Samuel's life was changed. He started out as like a little intern, and he moved on to be a chief prophet in Israel because of his faithfulness. Let all of us be faithful where God has placed us. Let us pray. Lord God, this message today, this message about Samuel, is a challenging message. It's beautiful, but it shows us that you call us, and we need to listen. And sometimes listening means we keep coming back. We may not even recognize your voice, but we keep coming back to that voice because eventually we will recognize and discern your will. So, Lord Jesus, this morning, I pray that the Word of God will have touched our lives and that we will walk with you and rejoice that we can hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.